Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, that was another great outcome from last Tuesday's election results. Did you guys hear about this this woman who won a race down in Texas, I believe it was? Before I clear off yesterday's show prep, some of which I didn't get a chance to talk about, let me share this one here. Shelley Luther, she owned a beauty salon, still owns a beauty salon down in Texas. She defied the COVID-19 lockdown orders to keep her business up and running. Anyway, she won a House seat in the state legislature down in Texas last Tuesday. So anyway, very cool story. Very cool to see. I opened up the show, I think, yesterday by talking about the reckoning that needs to come here following last Tuesday's elections. There's a reckoning on so many fronts that needs to come here. But anyway, lots to talk about this morning. The reckoning, that's what I was going to maybe open up the show with here this morning. They're just going to act like nothing happened? They're just going to move on? I sent this tweet out a few minutes ago, you know, as I'm, you know, reading through all the local news, some of the national news and everything. And I said this about 42 minutes ago. Some in the national media are having a reckoning about how wrong they were. Is the Montana media having a similar reckoning after their shameful coverage of the U.S. Senate race here in Montana? They're just going to move on and act like nothing happened. It's like, yeah, well, back to other funny ha-ha news stories. I guess we'll just talk about the weather now for the entire week. Yeah, these guys, they literally had the most shameful coverage probably in Montana political news history, the way they were so biased for Liberal Senator John Tester. And they're just going to move on and act like nothing happened. Not even going to say, wow, we really got that one wrong. Man, we doubled down and we did everything we could to try to save John Tester. And look at the massive rejection we just got. Is there going to be a reckoning? Anything? Bueller? Nothing? All right. Well, that's all right. Because I don't know how many people are going to keep tuning in to your nonsense anyway if you keep it up. But, yeah, you watch. Come January, they'll be back to the same old nonsense. It'll be the apotheosis of Zoe Zephyr once again. They'll be like, oh, yeah, trans this, she, her, he, him. What's with the she, her stuff? They'll be back to their same old tricks. But what's interesting is, again, some in the national media are having a reckoning. I had to, just for fun, I spent about 7 minutes this morning listening to a clip, a segment of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and the Reverend Al Sharpton. And Joe and Al Sharpton were literally describing the Montana Democrats in the Montana legislature and the Montana media. They were complaining about the latte liberals. Man, this is crazy, man. The latte liberals, these elite white liberals pushing these transgenders. I was like, holy cow, Reverend Al Sharpton, you sound like David Noble, Jeremy Carl, and I talking now. That was on MSNBC. They're having a reckoning.
Securing America.
President-elect Trump has named former Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Tom Homan as his new border czar. Homan leaving no doubt about his feelings on the border during an appearance Monday on Fox and Friends.
This is the biggest national security vulnerability this nation has seen since 9/11. We have to fix it.
Homan adding that even the FBI director, Christopher Wray, agrees with his assessment that
the Southwest border is the biggest national security vulnerability this nation's ever seen.
He says that when it comes to expected deportations of migrants here illegally, people have to be reminded that the rule of law cannot be ignored.
Those that had due process, a great taxpayer expense, and a federal judge says you must go home, and they didn't. They became a fugitive.
And Homan says he has no problems working with anyone in his new role in order to solve the border crisis.
I don't care if you're Republican, a Democrat, or independent. See, border security is national security. We should all be on the same side of that.
Kevin Lesky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies across the area today, we'll see some snow showers mixed with rain at times into the Bozeman area through midday, and then looking at rain showers developing across the Billings area. High temperatures range from about 42 in Bozeman to 48 in Billings. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures from the mid to upper 20s. Partly sunny skies develop on Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
There's leadership battles for the Montana legislature in Helena on Tuesday. Leadership battles for the U.S. Senate in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. Hey, these leadership battles in Helena, we may get the live results while we're live on the air with Tuesday's Montana Talks. We'll try to stay on top of that story. We'll take your phone calls and much more. Plus, we'll see if that Joker guy from X wants to join us. Tuesday's Montana Talks, statewide, right here, 9 to 10 a.m. I'm the Joker and more.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Chris Cuomo, this was another piece of show prep I never got to yesterday here. Chris Cuomo says Trump won because of wokeism run amok. Chris Cuomo, you remember the former CNN Democrat guy? His brother was the Democrat governor of New York, if I'm not mistaken. He says Trump won because of wokeism run amok. The Daily Caller had that story. And then when I finally get to my stack of stuff for today's show prep, I've got a piece here, I think also from the Daily Caller, where they're talking about MSNBC. And you had Joe Scarborough and Al Sharpton complaining about the elite white liberals that run the Democrat Party. How long have I been talking about the elite white liberals that run the Democrat Party? The elite white liberals who think they're better than you. And when I say you, yes, I'm talking to our Native American friends. Yes, I'm talking to our black friends. Yes, I'm talking to our Hispanic friends. Yes, I'm talking to our white friends. These elite white liberals think they're better than you. They think they're smarter than you. They think they should have control over you. That's why they want you to be dependent on them and big government, because they want to have power over you. The same elite white liberals who supported the defund the police movement, who claimed to speak on behalf of BIPOC, black indigenous peoples of color. And I'm like, wait a minute. If you guys remember back when the George Floyd riots and protests and nonsense was going on, I was like, who are these uppity white liberals that pretend to speak for BIPOC people, black indigenous people? And isn't that the stupidest term you've ever heard as well? Black indigenous peoples of color. Oh, my goodness. Had to be a woke white liberal that came up with that one. And then if you haven't watched Matt Walsh's document, his comedy film yet, Am I Racist? You got to go watch it. I mean, the woke white liberals that are in that movie are just hysterical. That's why it's a comedy. But anyways, I've got the story in here somewhere here. I'll get to it. But basically, yeah, you've got Al Sharpton and Joe Scarborough from Morning Joe sitting there talking about how these woke white liberals, these elite white liberals, Al Sharpton actually referred to them as the latte liberals. I've used that term on this show before as well, because I've pointed out how pre-COVID-19, why did Bozeman go so far left? Why did Gallatin County go so far left? Why are these woke white liberals, these elite white liberals, still running some school boards here in Montana, still running some city councils here in Montana? I mean, the woke white liberals, that is the Montana Democrats in the legislature. These elite white liberals are who runs the Democrat Party in the Montana legislature. Which reminds me of something else that Bill Maher, you know, the liberal host on HBO, something else he said about these woke white liberals, and partly why he believes President Trump won so big last Tuesday.
You could talk to one of the most interesting, brilliant people the world has ever produced, even about this issue that bothers you so much, that he's so rich and lots of people aren't. But no, you don't want to even deal with him. That's what I hate about the left. You brats. You brats and you snobs and people don't like that.
And not in a brat summer way.
Not in a brat summer. That's right. Not brat summer.
Look
how good that worked.
Your brats and your snobs. I mean, that was Bill Maher talking about these elitist, woke, white liberals on the left and their temper tantrums. And you know exactly who I thought of there once again were these Democrats in the Montana legislature that did just that very thing. They threw their little temper tantrum on the floor of the House of Representatives. They threw their temper tantrum up in the balcony in the gallery of the Montana House of Representatives. They started throwing things down on the floor at the lawmakers and the young pages below. And they threw little transgender transurrection at the Montana Capitol. And who was there cheerleading them on the entire time? Who was there cheerleading on this radical transgender activist, Zoe Zephyr? And who was mocking you and lecturing you if you dared criticize the liberal latte overreach, the liberal Montana media? The same liberal Montana media that just went all in trying to defend John Tester, and they lost. They lost big. 8 points they lost big. And so anyway, but these latte liberals that the Reverend Al Sharpton was talking about, that's who infilled and invaded Missoula at a bigger number, who infilled and invaded Bozeman and Gallatin County prior to COVID-19. And then post-COVID-19 here in Montana, we've had a whole bunch of fellow freedom fighters and political refugees who'd finally just had enough. Pre-COVID-19, you had these latte liberals, these white liberal elites that moved in from Seattle and San Francisco, and they just wanted to have a smaller version of Seattle and San Francisco. They knew they screwed up Seattle and San Francisco, but they didn't want to have a reckoning of their own that said, well, maybe we voted for the wrong people and the wrong policies. Maybe that's why we wanted to leave Seattle and San Francisco in the first place. No. And they wanted to make a smaller version of the mess they created back in Seattle and San Francisco, so they moved here. And then the freedom fighters showed up post-COVID-19. They had finally had enough in the cow states, I think, as Senator Daines referred to it, California, Oregon, and Washington, and they moved to the great cattle country of Montana, and these freedom fighters were able to help us push back against the latte liberals and the coastal white elites who invaded the state pre-COVID-19. Anyway, there you go. Had a little bit of fun watching Joe Scarborough and the Reverend, I use quotes on that one, Al Sharpton. Like I say, they sounded like David Noble and I talking during a woke update on Thursday or something.
Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Let's put aside the media speculation and look at President-elect Trump moving very quickly to name top appointees. He immediately, of course, tapped campaign manager Susie Wiles as his chief of staff, first woman to hold the job. Now, yesterday, the appointments included Tom Holman, who was ICE director in Trump's first term as the border czar. No surprise there. He'll be in charge of the promised mass deportation program. And he said, yeah, if we have to not separate families, we just deport all of them. Also, Elise Stefanik has been tapped as UN ambassador. Then there are various insiders. But the main thing here is there's all this media chatter about no guardrails. And yet, for the most part, we'll see what happens. Donald Trump is picking people who are serious people with Washington experience, and they're loyalists. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies across the area today, we'll see some snow showers mixed with rain at times into the Bozeman area through midday, and then looking at rain showers developing across the Billings area. High temperatures range from about 42 in Bozeman to 48 in Billings. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures from the mid to upper 20s. Partly sunny skies develop on Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
So I first saw the news on CNN. No, not that CNN. CNN, the Crow Nation News. They had this. 64% of the Native American community voted for President-elect Trump. Those numbers and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, King Kai Stewart, the Bare Knuckle Fight Championship in Billings, Montana. The Great Falls kid retains his world champion title. Montana
MontanaTalks.com for highlights.
The Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lynn Blond. The November World Egg Supply Demand Estimates Report had a few surprises in store with larger-than-expected yield, but production cuts were present. The USDA data highlighted lower yields for U.S. corn and soybeans due to late-season warmth and dryness, with soybeans seeing the biggest drop. The soybean yield fell by 1.4 bushels per acre from October, leading to 121 million bushel production cut. Corn yield decreased by 0.7 bushels per acre, reducing production by 60 million bushels. Despite these declines, market reactions were subdued due to robust South American production forecasts. USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer.
So we reduced the rankings for both the corn and soybean crops. So we were previously looking at a record soybean crop, and now, you know, with this yield change, it's the second highest, tied with 2016 for the second spot. And corn now moved down to the third largest crop, given that modest yield change. So a little bit of downgrading on the crops in their ranking, one each.
Wheat saw limited changes in the report, reflecting a mostly stable domestic outlook. U.S. wheat ending stocks increased slightly to 815 million bushels, driven by a 5 million bushel increase in imports and a 2 million bushel decline in food use. By class, changes included higher stocks for hard red spring wheat up 4 million bushels, while soft red winter wheat stocks fell 5 million bushels. Despite these adjustments, wheat prices face pressure, marking the fourth consecutive decline on the market.
Hello, I'm Clayton Lohr, Vice President of the Montana Grain Growers Association and this year's chair for our annual convention. I want to personally invite you to join us at our 69th annual convention and trade show. We'll fill the Pacific Steel and Recycling Arena December 3rd to the 5th. It will be three full days of motivation, education, and collaboration. Farmers from across the state will gather, share their insights, and talk farm policy. We look forward to seeing you at the Montana Grain Growers Annual Convention.
Looking for unbeatable deals on used equipment? Look no further than C&B, your local John Deere dealer of choice. Right now in our clearance center, we've got a 2023 John Deere S780 with 667 separator hours, featuring an active yield plus monitor, a universal receiver SF1, and auto track ready. Now clearanced at just over $421,000. Want to see more clearance equipment? Then head to C&B today or visit DeereEquipment.com/clearance. But don't wait. This unit won't last long.
Changing consumer preferences suggest whole turkeys may be losing their grip as the dominant center of plate choice for Thanksgiving dinner. While ample turkey supplies and favorable prices leading into the holiday season indicate turkey will retain its position as the traditional protein of choice this Thanksgiving, consumer trends are making the future less certain. Growing demand for convenience, longer-term pressure on turkey supplies, and increasing competition from beef and pork markets may all impact the longevity of the holiday turkey. According to a new report from CoBank's Knowledge Exchange, a downward trend in U.S. turkey supplies, coupled with changing traditions and consumer openness to other animal protein options, could trigger a longer-term decline in holiday turkey sales. And with Veterans Day taking place yesterday, a newly established award recognized veterans for excellence in farming or agriculture and positively impacting local communities. Retired Army Colonel Joe Ricker of Indiana became the first recipient of the Veteran Farmer Award of Excellence presented by the American Farm Bureau with support from Farm Credit. On this Tuesday, on my Northland Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, see, there's folks in the national media. They're having their reckoning. They're saying, hey, what, man, we got it pretty wrong, pretty bad. And now the knives are out and everybody's finger pointing at each other. Oh, it was Joe Biden's fault. It was Kamala's fault. It was your fault. It was everybody. The knives are out. Isn't that a popular movie here in recent years? The knives are out. That's what you can sum up this documentary on the post 2024 election coverage. But back in the Montana media, though, no, they're just acting like nothing happened. They're just going to keep going along, doing the same stuff they've always been doing. They're just going to act like nothing happened. They're going to act like they didn't even interfere in the 2024 elections.
and it didn't blow up in their face and they didn't fail miserably, there will be no reckoning in the Montana media. You know that guy in the back of the newsroom that was trying to raise his hand for the last year at your TV station saying, hey, guys, don't you think we should be a little more fair here? Hey, guys, don't you think we should ask John Tester a tough question about the southern border, about the Keystone Pipeline? Hey, don't you think we should ask John Tester about why he voted to allow men and women sports? Shut up, guy in the back of the room. No, instead, we're going to lie and we're going to claim that that's not what he voted on. We're just going to lie about it, just straight up to our viewers. And here's the deal. We know it. You all know it. You know there are those men and women that work for these TV stations, and at least one of them one or two of them that work for these newspapers as well. And they're sitting in the newsroom and they're saying, hey, guys, don't you think we should maybe be a little more objective here? Don't you think we should maybe ask the other side about this? That nope. Shut up, guy in the back of the room. Shut up, gal in the back of the room. We got this. There will be no reckoning in the Montana media, but the knives are out. Charlemagne, the popular black radio host I was telling you about yesterday, listened to the surprise. I think was he on ABC's This Week? I think he was on ABC's This Week with Jonathan Carl. Listen to the shock in Charlemagne's voice as Jonathan Carl reiterates some of the big support Trump got from, shall we say, BIPOC people.
What do you make of the demographics here? I mean, Trump got one out of every three voters of color.
No.
Yeah.
One out of
33%.
No. Really?
Yeah.
When you say color, you mean like black, brown, everything. Oh, well, I think that, people have different issues that they care about. And I think that there's nobody out there that's a single issue voter. I think some of this is a backlash to race and gender and identity politics. But, man, most people, they just care about keeping food on their table and keeping a roof over their head.
Imagine that. I love that. That's shocking. Wait, what? By people of color, like you mean like black and brown and... Well, if you throw in cream-colored folks, too, the numbers go even higher, Charlemagne, than just one-third of people of color votes for Donald J. Trump. Yeah, it was a landslide. Let's see. We got a great report from Peter Ducey on Fox News yesterday talking about how the blame game is ongoing here. Some are blaming Biden. Some are blaming Kamala. Others are pointing the finger at the own liberal white elites running the Democrat Party and how they did not want to address the southern border, how they kept pushing the radical transgender agenda and more. By the way, that Charlemagne clip that I played for you, the DailyWire.com has this headline, Charlemagne the God blasts Democrats for not securing the border. That's also where they had that soundbite of him expressing shock at the huge number of people of color that voted for Donald J. Trump. Here's a quick clip from Jesse Waters' program last night talking about how the knives are out for Kamala Harris in particular. And I think he starts with James Carville. And Carville made a good point here about how Kamala couldn't even answer the easiest question that she should have answered on the campaign trail.
The second they drove off the lot, she crashed.
I think if this campaign is reducible to one moment, we're in a 65% wrong track country. The country wants something different. And she's asked, as so often the case, in a friendly audience on The View, how would you be different than Biden? That's the one question that you exist to answer. All right? That is it. That's the money question. That's the one you want. That's the one that everybody wants to know the answer to. And you freeze. You literally freeze and say, well, I can't think of anything. When we go back and history unearths this, it's going to be right there on The View.
Did you ever think a View interview would doom a Democrat? I didn't. Democrats around the country are lined up outside the bathroom now to wash their hands of this. George Clooney says he's taking a step back from politics, so don't make him a scapegoat. And Democrat insiders are leaking to Rolling Stone that it wasn't their idea for Harris to campaign with Liz Cheney. They say they begged Harris to stop. quote, people don't want to be in a coalition with the devil. They were saying, hey, maybe focus more on energizing your base than Liz Cheney. The Harris crew told him to get lost. No thanks.
All right, there you go. Even the knives are out for Liz Cheney now. You hate to see it. You just hate to see it. All right, I tell you what, the knives are out. Some of you are saying, man, when I get that pain in my lower back, it feels like there is a knife in my lower back. Or maybe you get the pain in your joints a little further down in your knees, and it feels like, man, you just got a knife jabbed in there when it hits that nerve. You get that bone-on-bone constant pain from arthritis. Well, I'll tell you what, if that describes you, there are exciting new cellular therapies that can get you lasting pain relief. And the place to go is QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is in Montana. They specialized in regenerative medicine where they take the healing properties that are already in your body and put them directly into those achy joints. You can call QC Kinetics right now for a free consultation to get over the pain without drugs, without surgery. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I got some great messages on the Montana Talks app here. One of them, this came in a few days ago, and I apologize, I'm just now getting to it. This was such a great one, though. I laughed my butt off when I first saw it. So this came in, a few days ago, this came in from Eric in Winifred, Montana. And I think I had just mentioned how the 1776 Foundation here in Montana, they're the ones, they have those Don't Tread on Me license plates. And what they do is they will pass out copies, free copies of the United States Constitution and the Montana Constitution. They'll give them to organizations. They'll give them to classrooms, teachers, you name it. There's a chapter of Turning Point USA on the University of Montana campus, and they were telling me, oh, yeah, we reached out to that set because I had some 1776 Foundation swag I was wearing when I was at the press box in Missoula for one of our events before the election. Anyway, and she was like, oh, yeah, they sent us a bunch of constitutions to give out to students on campus. Ah, they're great. So I was telling you about this, and Eric and Winifred says, maybe somebody can send some free copies of the Constitution to our liberal Montana Supreme Court so they can try to, you know, more closely follow the Constitution. It was such a great message from Eric and Winifred. And it had been sitting in front of me right here on my studio console here, the board to operate the program here, at least my microphones and your phone calls and everything. And I don't know why I hadn't gotten to it yet, but hey, it was such a great message. Eric and Winifred, thanks for that message. A listener in Boulder, Montana yesterday sent me this message yesterday afternoon. How about the Fox News article about how Montana went completely red? Yeah, we liked the math in Montana. Once we added all up and carried the ones, it equaled red. Not hard to figure out. By the looks of this election, maybe we aren't the only ones who did some tallying. Yeah, the Fox News article, if I didn't mention it in the early morning hours of the show yesterday, Aubrey Spady has a write-up, Montana's Road to Red, how the state shifted to all GOP leadership for the first time in over 100 years. Montana's first two senators selected after joining the union in November of 1889 were Republican. The state elected another set of Republicans to the Senate in the early 1900s, but Montana would not see another GOP pair elected to the chamber until 2024, more than 100 years later. And for the first time since 1897, Montana is seeing a sweep of Republican leadership across the Senate, governorship, and congressional seats. So that is a part of what Aubrey Spady's report included at FoxNews.com yesterday morning. Let's see. Lightbrows in Hardin. What is this Adam Schiff that folks in the Pentagon are meeting to prevent Trump from cleaning house. As I recall, not positive, but officers serve at the will of Congress and the president. That was from Lightbrows and Hardin. Thanks for that message. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I heard Kash Patel. Kash Patel was the Department of Justice representative at JSOC back during the first Trump administration. Kash Patel is incredible, man. And apparently he's being rumored to be either the FBI director or maybe even CIA director for President Trump. That's one of the other things I was seeing out there. But I heard him on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, and man, he was on fire. God, he could be a new defense secretary, FBI, you name it. But that guy's great. Remember, he joined us right here on this show before the election because he was backing Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. And so I reached out to Kash Patel to see if he wants to get back on the show. We could talk about that topic that Lightbrows and Hardin just brought up. Bev in Bozeman sent us this just a few minutes ago. I hope to hear from you about whether Steve Daines is backing John Thune or not. Maybe the senator will call in. I am very disappointed if this is true. Yeah, most of the pro-Trump conservatives are supporting Rick Scott, but at least if the Benny Johnson list is accurate, it doesn't look like Rick Scott has a lot of support amongst the United States senators to be the majority leader. But yeah, I think we all have our concerns in opposition with John Thune and John Cornyn. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I'm still holding out hope. I would like to see, you know, Senator Steve Daines be the next Senate Majority Leader. Now, I know he doesn't want the job. I know he doesn't want to, you know, have to be stuck there herding cats. But I think he would be an incredible Senate Majority Leader. You know, Rick Scott was the head of the NRSC last cycle. It was his job to win back the Senate Republican majority last cycle. He came up short, and he's faced a lot of criticism with how he handled that role as chairman of the NRSC. And then now I see Dana Loesch is also criticizing him because of, you know, some of his gun positions over the years. But either way, Senator Steve Daines, look, as a Montanan, I'm always Montana first. And Steve Daines was one of the first senators to come out fully backing Donald J. Trump here this last cycle. And he shepherded the Senate into a more pro-Trump direction. So don't we want somebody to shepherd the Senate in a Trump agenda direction, an America First agenda here in this next session of Congress? I think that's what we all really want, right? Like I say, I don't know if he'd actually do the job, if he would get elected to the job, but I know President Trump has talked about, you know, wanting to see him in that job before, several months ago. Let's see. Senator-elect Tim Sheehy was on with Trey Gowdy. Let me play just a quick clip here, and then we'll go right into your phone calls here.
And now, when you get there, the GOP has to pick a majority leader first. And then what happens? I mean, what's first on Tim Sheehy's to-do list? What's the most important issue for you when you get there?
We have to make sure the Senate is functional and that we are strapping rocket boosters to the America First agenda. We can't just expect to sit there and be a rubber stamp. We got to strap rocket boosters, and we got to get a lot of stuff done very fast. As we know, historically, we might have 2 years of a united government the way we have it now. So that means we got to secure that border day one. President Trump will probably do that in the executive order. But we have to follow up with legislation to make sure that sticks. We can't keep having the border be a political football. We got to seal it and seal it right the first time. Then we got to move into bringing constitutional government back, regular order in Congress. We can't have the stranglehold on leadership. We got to make sure that the people that have been elected by the people are actually having a voice in Congress and the Senate. And then, of course, we got to get these foreign policy disasters under control that Biden unleashed on us. It's amazing. Within 48 hours of Trump being elected, everyone wants to cut a deal and end these crazy conflicts. So we got a lot of work to do, but I think we're going to be able to get a lot done.
All right. Let me just hold it right there. Yeah, that was his conversation with Trey Gowdy on Fox News on Sunday night. Let's go into the phone lines here. Tim in Billings first up. Tim, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. I think Kash Patel becoming the head of the CIA or the FBI or the DNI would be a masterstroke of a move by President Trump. Kash Patel, if anyone remembers, he and Devin Nunes were the ones that you know, pointed out to the country, hey, this Russia collusion thing, this is a hoax. And they went to bat and they battled for every day of all the years since the Democrats first started talking about it, and they never backed down. If it was not for Cash Patel and Devin Nunes, we still wouldn't know that that was all a hoax, because they fought tooth and nail to make sure that everybody knew that that was a hoax. While Adam Schiff is up there saying he saw personally the evidence that it was real, and he lied to the American people through the media, and they took the ball and they ran with it for the Democrats. So Cash Patel will clean out and straighten out any one of those agencies he takes hold of.
Well, that's right. And, like, the guy's just top-notch. I mean, he worked inside the Department of Justice. Like I say, he was, like, the Department of Justice rep at JSOC, which is the Joint Special Operations Command, which he's talked about publicly, which is, you know, which is, of course, the elite of the elite in our U.S. military. So he's crossed both of those thresholds. But, yeah, he gets it. He gets exactly what's going on. He knows exactly who these swamp rats are and how to root them out. I really look forward to seeing what role he plays in this America First agenda, either in the administration or influencing from outside. But I think he'd be great for any position Trump threw him at.
Absolutely, he's a home run no matter where he goes. He's gonna serve the American people well no matter what position he's put in. Speaking of Steve Daines, I called his Billings office yesterday and encouraged him to support Mr. Scott. That is, however, if he wasn't tapped himself. And I reminded them that reluctant leaders are sometimes the best leaders. And Senator Daines, if you're out there listening, you know, once more, dear friend, into the breach. Just a few more years. Once more. Just a few more years to save this country and get us back on track.
Hey, by the way, did you tell me King Kai Stewart was at Skyview for a wrestling tournament on Saturday?
Senior high, there was a preseason wrestling tournament, and I saw him teaching with Charlie Kleps. He's one of the wrestling coaches at senior high.
Oh, that's very cool. He did that before the BKFC. Very cool.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We have that caravan that was on its way towards the United States. Apparently is now breaking up. Qatar agreed to finally evict Hamas leaders that have been living high on the hog in Qatar. Hamas wants an immediate end to the war. The Taliban is claiming they want, quote, a new chapter. China wants to peacefully coexist. Russia is ready to speak with the U.S. The EU is saying they want to buy U.S. gas, not Russian gas. Ukraine leaders are in talks with Trump and Elon Musk. Oh, he is the only president-elect for a short time. It seems like the world is reacting to Donald Trump being elected, which is a good thing.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
When you're hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology makes finding qualified candidates for your job easy. This made us wonder, what if the rest of the world was as easy as ZipRecruiter? Math problems wouldn't be so problematic.
K equals 42.
Escape rooms? Elementary. And summiting Everest would be a walk in the park. In the meantime, if you want to make your hiring easier, use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Simple. So, see what the world is like when ZipRecruiter does the hard work of hiring for you. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Broadcast news used to be guided by something I call the beach principle. Imagine that you're a business that sells refreshments on a beach, which is a long strip of sand sprinkled with sunbathers. Where should you set up your stand? The answer is in the middle, of course. Now let's imagine a second business arrives. It turns out that they do best by being in the middle as well. That helped explain why, in the days when we all got our news from 2 or 3 channels, the news was so much the same. It just didn't make sense to be an outlier, to be a business selling on the end of the beach. To say that's changed is a huge understatement. CNN averaged just 792,000 viewers in October, with a median age of 68. Almost 40% of those 18 to 29 get their news from TikTok. Political candidates interview with podcasters more than networks. We've got our own private beaches now, and those who will find us to sell news and information number in the thousands, and they're not the same. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Expo Center. It will be junk-tastic.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, let me just say again, I just got a nice message from one of those guys, listening in this morning. Yeah, there are some great men and women that work for all of these media outlets here in Montana. And like I say, there's that guy in the back of the room. There's that gal in the back of the room who's sitting there saying, trying to raise their hand, saying, hey, guys, don't you think we should be a little more fair here? Don't you think we should be a little more objective? Don't you think we should question the other guys, too, instead of just, yeah, there's some incredible men and women out there. And so if these news organizations actually want to do news, you know, I do commentary. You want to do commentary? Do commentary. Put it on your opinion pages. I do commentary. I used to do news. I can do that too, but we do commentary. But it's funny how we end up breaking so much news here in the midst of the commentary as well. All right, let's see. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. We've got a couple callers on the phone lines. Nancy and Roundup first up. Nancy, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Trumpers. A couple of points on mass deportation and on Mexico. I mentioned my one grandson a couple of weeks ago. He had a five-week layoff from Stellantis that builds Grand Cherokee Jeeps in Ohio. Well, he got a notice last week that he is indefinitely laid off. Not 1,190 men and women lost their jobs. Biden colluded behind our backs with the union to build two brand-new Grand Cherokee Jeep plants in Mexico. They are taking our jobs there. And so it's thousands of Americans are losing their work, and rubber plants, there's a rubber plant in northern New York that's being shut down because they have no orders for rubber tires for these Grand Cherokees. So that's sad news. But on the front of mass deportation, Trump has really got it lined out. And I'm telling you, I can't wait to start seeing this happen. He's, of course, going to start at the top to the bottom with the worst to the lower level of families and singles. He's going to deport whole families. He's not going to split them up. He said that they came in together and they're going to leave together, which is excellent news. As far as DACA, he said he's going to recognize them, but he's not giving them amnesty or citizenship. He will issue some green cards. They can start paying reparations back to the American taxpayers that have been giving them free education ever since they were brought into our country illegally by their parents as children. So it's really shaping up. It's wonderful. And we're starting to hear the bleeding heart liberals. Families are going to lose their homes. Illegals are going to lose their homes. Well, they're not their homes. They took these homes.
The same old scare tactics, right?
Yeah,
same old scare tactics. All right, great to hear from you, Nancy. And I'll tell you what, if you're excited about what Nancy had to say right there, wait till you hear Tom Homan, what he has to say. I've got audio ready to roll for you in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. All right, I got to get to Gary and Billings before we run out of time. Gary, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. What do you hear about the dollar? Very weak. It's going away. You know, we got to go to gold. But now that we have all this money that's put in and the banks were tested, so we should be able to get a loan, right?
Yeah, well, if you're one of his buddies that cut a campaign commercial for him, you might be able to get a loan if you didn't already get cash, you know, shoved into your pockets anyway. Yeah, it was crazy just looking at some of the numbers here. At $273 million in counting, Montana's just ended 2024 U.S. Senate race is the state's most expensive political race ever. That was a piece by Tom Luty for the Liberal Montana Free Press. Yeah, Gary, thanks for the call. Crazy, huh? Almost sickening how much money was thrown at that guy and in that guy's pocket.
By the way, did John Tester show up for any Veterans Day event yesterday? Did he show up to pay respects on Veterans Day anywhere in Montana yesterday? I mean, he claimed to be the veterans guy when he was trying to get your votes, but now, nah.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. The husband of a missing Texas mom has officially been charged with murder. 53-year-old Brad Simpson now accused of killing his wife, Suzanne Simpson, even though her body has not been found. The 51-year-old mother of four and luxury real estate agent has been missing for over a month, and her husband has been charged with several offenses, which have kept him behind bars leading up to Thursday's murder charge. A neighbor told police he saw Brad and Suzanne fighting each other on the night of October 6th outside their home in the San Antonio area and later heard screams coming from a nearby wooded area. According to the affidavit, the couple's youngest child told school staff that her parents had been fighting and that her father had struck her mother in the face and possibly pushed her into a wall, and he had taken away her cell phone. The couple's 20-year-old daughter wrote on Instagram, quote, "My father took my mother's life in a state of rage and control." There's more on this story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.